Tonight, I'm very excited about what we're going to be talking about. My message is commissioned with power. Commissioned with power. We're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight. We're going to pray for young people to get filled tonight. About 2 weeks ago, the Lord put this subject on my heart. So tonight, I'm going to do a little bit of a teaching, which is a little bit of a different style, because I believe you guys are mature enough to handle it. How many think you can handle that tonight? How many have had questions about the baptism or wanted to know a little bit more about the Spirit and how the Spirit works and moves? Amen. You can be honest tonight. That's all right. Everybody else, I guess you understand everything. You know everything. You have mastered the subject, and you can get up here and teach, right? Praise God. Amen. Well, we're going to get right into it. Commissioned with power. Commissioned with power. You can turn to Acts chapter 1 if you have a Bible, Acts chapter 1, and I'm just going to go ahead and begin tonight. During the 40 days after the crucifixion, after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus appeared to the apostles from time to time and began to prove to them in many ways that he was in fact alive, that he was actually alive. On these occasions, he talked to them much about the kingdom of God. And on one of these particular occasions, he began to speak to them about the Great Commission. He began to talk to them about the Great Commission, to give them the Great Commission. And you don't need to turn there, but I'll just read it to you. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel, to everyone, everywhere. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe." In other words, these miracles will begin to be performed by those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will begin to speak in new tongues. Another translation says in strange tongues in my name. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. I think of the Apostle Paul, who was bitten by a snake after he had been shipwrecked on an island, but nothing happened to him. The Bible says they will be also able to drink anything with poison, and it will not hurt them. Amen. They will also be able to put their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover as a result of them laying on their hands. Hallelujah. Incredible promise that Christ gave in relation to the Great Commission. And this commission was given to his disciples. It was given to you and I, if you believe in Christ tonight and if you've surrendered your life to him. In one of these meetings, as he was eating with his disciples, he told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends what he has promised. Remember, I told you about this before. John baptized with water. But just in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power," he went on to tell them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, if you're there. "You shall receive power. You shall receive ability. You shall receive efficiency. You shall receive might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth." In other words, wherever you go, you're going to bear witness of what I have done, who I am, and you're going to, and through your life, God is going to begin to touch other people. Hallelujah. You're going to begin to bear witness of what you have seen and heard. Not only through your words, but through your life. Your life will be a witness. I think it was St. Francis of Assisi who once said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Does that make sense tonight? Did you get that? In other words, even when you're not speaking, your life should be preaching the message. Your life should be a witness. Hallelujah. The disciples were going to face times of great difficulty and hardship, including hatred and persecution. Others would soon face betrayal, fear, intimidation. Do you know what I'm talking about? Intimidation, times of uncertainty, and even death. So they were going to need a power other than themselves to see this great commission come to pass, to see this work through that God had called them to. You see, this heavenly kingdom could not be advanced or maintained through man-made ideas, plans, or strategies. That which comes from the flesh, the Bible says, is flesh. and that which is born out of the Spirit of God is spirit. See, this kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and it can't be built up, it can't be held up, it can't be promoted by fleshly means. It can't be promoted by man-made strength or power. So Christ comes to them, and he gives them clear instruction to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Father. Now tonight I'm going to ask a series of questions, and I'm going to begin to answer those questions as we go along tonight in our study. First of all, what is the promise of the Father? Secondly, what was it for? Thirdly, am I allowed to speak in tongues? Some denominations say you're not supposed to speak in tongues. Some denominations say you're supposed to speak in tongues. And who was this promise made to? Who was it for? First of all, the promise of the Father. What was that promise? Simply in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, you see it there if you have your Bible. He says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The word baptism means to completely be submerged. To be submerged in the power of God. To be engulfed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, if you were to turn over to the next chapter, it says, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In verse 18, he says, in those days I will pour out my Spirit upon all my servants. Somebody say all. All my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. What was this promise for? Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 26. It says that the Holy Spirit would be our counselor. He would be there to guide us. He would be there to comfort us. He would be there to console us. He would be there to encourage us. Hallelujah. He would teach us, and he would also remind us of the things that Christ taught us. For example, when you have your devotion times and you're reading the word and it doesn't seem like you're getting anything out of it and you walk away and then all of a sudden later in the day you face a situation or a temptation or a difficulty and then all of a sudden God will begin to bring what you read in your word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And God will begin to quicken that word to your heart and remind you of the promise of God so that faith will begin to fill your heart and you can turn away from that temptation at that particular point in time. I remember when my wife and I were house hunting and I was reading in my devotion one particular morning and I read this particular verse and it didn't mean anything to me at the time. And then we went to this particular builder that we were going to buy a house from and all of a sudden God shut the door. The door was shut. The builder said, for whatever reason, he just turned away and said, I can't do business with you. And our credit was good. There was nothing wrong with our credit. We had perfect credit. Had always paid our bills on time. And all of a sudden the door was closed. It was pretty strange as a matter of fact. But later on in the day, I was pretty discouraged and thinking, what happened? Blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden the Lord reminded me of that verse I had read in Proverbs 3 verse 26. It says, the Lord will deliver you from every trap. And I didn't understand that, but later on, I began to find out that the place that we were going to buy our house in was going to be totally changed around. The whole neighborhood, the whole area, all the woods that we were so excited that we're going to be behind our home and provide some privacy were all going to be cut down and townhouses were all going to be built up. But see, I had no way of knowing that, but God knew. I said, God knew. And what to me was a thing of discouragement, all of a sudden God turned it around to show me his faithfulness. Amen. So the Holy Spirit will remind you of things that God has spoken to you, of things that Christ is speaking and Christ has taught you. You might be sitting in the church and all of a sudden you hear a word and it doesn't seem like it applies, but then you walk out of the door and you face a certain situation, or you might be listening to some worship music. And the words, and then all of a sudden, one day you're just facing this certain situation, and then you'll remember the words of this song. And when you didn't have a song in your heart and you had nothing to sing about, all of a sudden that song will begin to rise up. How many know what I'm talking about here tonight? A song will begin to rise up, and then all of a sudden, you know, that sadness turns to joy. God begins to quicken you. He'll begin to encourage your heart. The Bible says he's the glory. He's our glory and the lifter of our heads. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit will teach us. He will remind us of things that Christ taught us. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 26 says that the Holy Spirit will tell us all about Jesus. Everything you and I ever need to know about Christ, about his reign, about his dominion, about his power over all the power of the enemy. The Holy Spirit will begin to quicken that and make that alive to us and remind us of those things. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will also give us power for service. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Power to witness. Power to be a witness at school. Amen. Power to be a witness on your job. When everybody else is cracking dirty jokes. Or talking about the boss behind his back. Or talking about this person or that person behind their back. Or talking about some subject that you have no business being a part of. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will be there to give you power to turn away and to stand for Jesus Christ. Power to open your mouth and to begin to speak of the glorious works of Christ and all that he's done in your life. But not only power to speak, not only power in words, but power to claim healing in the name of Jesus. Power to pray for people and see them healed. Power to bring deliverance to people in your school. You might have a young person that's battling depression, and God will give you power to pray for that young person in the name of Jesus and to see them delivered. Hallelujah. I think of a young girl when I was in college who was battling. She was living a lesbian lifestyle and she was totally depressed. She had been abused by her father and she was depressed. And I remember the Spirit of God came on my wife. And she began to pray for her. And in the name of Jesus, God began to lift that burden. She got saved and delivered from homosexuality, from that lesbian lifestyle. Hallelujah. She was set on fire for Christ. God broke the depression over her life. And this happened in school, right outside the bursar's office, where we pay for our schedules, where we pay for our classes. Hallelujah. I said, he'll cause you to be a witness. He'll cause you to bring deliverance. Hallelujah. But not only that, God will cause you to pray in power. You can begin to pray and know that you, when you're praying, you have the mind of the Lord and that you're touching heaven and that you're praying through and that you have the petition that you're asking God. God, by his Spirit, will begin to confirm to you that I've heard your prayer and that I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. God will come and he will also, by the power of his Spirit, begin to bring understanding in the Word of God. Things that you read in your devotions that made absolutely no sense, God will cause it to come alive. He'll cause it to be real to you. And he'll begin to speak to you. The words of this book will begin to jump off the pages. And God will cause it to be real in your life. He will come by the power of his Spirit. And he will also cause you to live an overcoming life. He will cause you to have power over sin. Power over depression. Power over pornography, power over anger and fits of rage, power over talking back to your parents, power over lying, power over lying. God will cause you to have power tonight over porn and all types of perversion. God will cause you to have power over alcohol, over cigarettes, over marijuana, over pot. God will cause you to have power over all these things. Hallelujah. Power over sin tonight. There's power to live a victorious life. And it's found in Jesus. The Holy Spirit will cause you to have power. But not only that, the Holy Spirit will come and he will give you power for ministry. For whatever ministry God's called you to. What am I talking about? I remember years ago, when the YPC, the youth choir, was first started in this church. I was in the youth choir. I never forget it. I was sitting in the second row and just worshiping. I was in college. I wasn't a pastor. I was just living for God. And I wasn't doing anything except coming to church and part of the choir, part of the youth group. And then I would go back to school and do my thing and work. And while I was in the youth choir, all of a sudden, I was praying and I was worshiping, and God reminded me of a prayer that I had in my heart. I had been praying, Lord, come and take control of my life and use me for your glory. Use me for your glory. And I had been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had gone this church and that church. I was all over the place. I was so hungry for God. I was in Queens. I was in the Bronx. I was in Brooklyn. This was even before Times Square Church started. But the Lord, while I was in the choir, was reminding me of this. I would go to this church. I was up in Harlem. I was up in the Bronx. I was seeking God and looking for a home church, but also in every prayer meeting, tarrying for the Holy Spirit. I had the best of them lay hands on me, and I was just believing God and I just asking God to fill me with the Holy Ghost. But I still had doubt and unbelief in my heart. And I'll tell you how God began to show me that. One night I remember I was in bed while I was in bed, I had just finished having my devotion times. I was praying, and then all of a sudden I began to hear this language on the inside. And it was tongues, and I didn't understand it. And all of a sudden, the devil came in my mind. It was the Holy Spirit that was trying to fill me and baptize me. And all he was waiting for me to do was speak it out. But all of a sudden, the devil came in and said, "Oh, you're just imitating Sister So and So, or Evangelist So and So, or you heard this person pray in tongues, and you're just imitating this person." And so, instead of speaking it out in faith and believing God, I believed the devil. And so I quenched the spirit and I didn't speak it out. And so for a long time after that, that didn't happen. And then that particular day, years later, when I was in the choir singing and worshiping, all of a sudden while I was worshiping, the Holy Spirit reminded me of that and said, "I'm here to fill you." And so while I was there, all of a sudden this word came into my mind. And I was just worshiping, and this word came into my mind, and it was strange. It didn't make any sense to me. But the Holy Spirit told me, "Go ahead and begin to speak it out in faith." And so I began to speak this word out. And as I began to speak this word out, I just spoke it. It was just one phrase. And I just began to speak. I still remember it in my head. And I just began to speak it out, speak it out. And as I began to speak out this phrase, all of a sudden, it felt like a shower. Like I was in the shower, the Holy Spirit just began to fall on me. And I'm in the choir in the middle of everybody. Nobody has any clue what's happening to me. And all of a sudden, it was like a shower was open. And the Holy Spirit just began to fall on me. And I felt like I was under a shower head. And then some more words began to come, and more words. And I began to say, "Lord, give me more words. Give me more words. Give me more." And then all of a sudden, more and more. And as I began to speak it forth, all of a sudden, all these words started coming forth, and I began to sense the presence of God in my life in a way I had never experienced. It opened the realm of the supernatural to me. I began to hear God's voice in a way like I had never known. But see, God knew what was coming ahead. I didn't know what was coming. At one point, I was going to be asked to lead worship here at Times Square Church, and I was going to lead worship for 14 years, but I had no clue. I had absolutely no clue God was filling me with the Holy Spirit. And it was for his reason. It was for his glory and to stand for him. And so God will use you, and he will fill you with his spirit. He will fill you with power for your specific ministry, whatever he's called you to. So that when you minister, when you stand for him, when you open your mouth, the glory of God will come forth and lives will be touched and changed. Amen? Hallelujah. Tonight, another question that I want to propose to you. Am I allowed to speak in tongues? Yes, you may. Yes, you may. This is a gift from God and is one of the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The ability to speak in tongues is given to every believer. I want to read to you from Acts chapter 10. You don't need to turn there. Acts chapter 10. Verse 44 and 46, it says, "Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the message. And there could be no doubt about it. They heard them speak in tongues and praising God." The Holy Spirit fell on all of them that were gathered in that particular place. Now, speaking in tongues is not the exclusive way of determining whether you have been filled with the Spirit. A changed life and the power to live godly is the best indication that the Holy Ghost has come into your life. A changed life and the power to live godly. I think of a young lady who was in our youth group, and she had so many battles taking place at home. She was a high schooler, a teenager. She wanted to live for God. And I saw God just moving in this young lady's life, separating her from all her friends that were, she had friends in the church and they weren't living for God. Listen, not everybody in church is living for God. Amen. And sometimes God will separate you from folks. And so she had friends in the church, and God, I saw God just separating her and separating her to herself. And I remember this one particular night we preached on the baptism, and she came to the altar right to the front and, just began to lift her hands and worship God. And all of a sudden, just like that, I mean, the Holy Ghost fell on her and she began to speak in tongues, and God began to quicken her and began to use her to intercede and pray. And when she would pray, she would touch heaven. I mean, she would touch heaven. You would feel like the heavens were open when she prayed, and faith would begin to fill your heart, and you knew that God was going to answer that particular prayer. Who is this promise for? The Holy Spirit is only for the born-again Christian. The Holy Spirit is not available to the world or the unsaved. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Verse 16 through 17 says this, "And I will ask," this is Jesus speaking, "the Father, and he will give another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it is not looking for him and does not recognize him. But you do, because he lives with you now and later will be in you." If you are not sure you are born again, be sure before you ask or seek the baptism. When you have truly become one of God's children, then your heavenly Father, according to Luke 11:13, will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not only for apostles, was not only for the apostles or Jews or people who lived in the days of the apostles, but for all saved people in every age. It is for all Christians who want to live a righteous life. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says this, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hallelujah. They shall be filled. You can praise them tonight. The gifts of the Spirit. How many have heard the gifts of the Spirit? You've heard of that? The gifts of the Spirit? I want to mention the gifts of the Spirit tonight. I'm not going to get real in depth into them, only because of the sake of time tonight. But I just want to skim over them real quick. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 lists 9 gifts of the Spirit, or manifestations of the Spirit. These are supernatural tools or equipment that God will give believers for Christian service. Any Spirit-filled Christian can manifest any of these gifts as the Spirit directs them. Number 1, a word of wisdom. Number 2, a word of knowledge. These are all various gifts of the Spirit. A word of knowledge is a revelation of a piece of information which cannot be known in a natural way. I think of Pastor Carter, one of our pastors here, our senior pastor, who's been used in a word of knowledge from time to time. I remember one particular night, we were here in church, and the Lord gave him a message that there was a man here in the church who was a Muslim, but yet he was empty on the inside, miserable, discouraged, and he was seeking. He wanted to know who was the true and living God, and he had come through the doors of the church, but no one had any idea that he was here. He hadn't told anyone who he was. He just slipped into the church, and God told Pastor Carter that this man was here, and that he was hungry and he was searching. And so Pastor Carter that night came up to the pulpit and said, "There is a man here," and began to describe this man. And at the end of the service, the man came up to the altar and gave his heart to Jesus Christ and found Jesus to be Lord and God. Hallelujah. A word of knowledge. There's a gift of faith. There are gifts of healing. There's a working of miracles, discerning of spirits. Gift of prophecy. I think of Pastor David, our founding pastor, who has been used in the gift of prophetic ministry. He wrote a book back in 1973 called The Vision. And in that book, he began to write of certain things that were going to come to pass, things that would soon come to pass, and things that were for years later. Some of the things he began to speak about. He began to talk about how at some particular point, X-rated movies and porn and these things would begin to come into people's homes. And people would have access to these things in their homes. And this was before the VCR, VHS tapes. This was before cable. And this was way before internet. And God had showed him in the future that this was going to be possible. And people laughed him to scorn and said, "You're nuts. You're crazy." And he wrote it all in this book in 1973. And we know today that it's all come to pass. He also wrote in there some of the things that we see happening today. He talked about the failure of banks. He talked about the auto industry that was going to be struggling. He also talked about different things that were going to be happening in this day and age that you and I are living in. The financial crises and all these different things. And they're all happening right around us. And these were all a prophetic message that God had given him at that particular point in time. There is a gift of tongues, which is also used in conjunction with the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, the use of any of these gifts require cooperation between the Holy Spirit and us. He gives gifts as he wills. In other words, the Holy Spirit will give different gifts to different people as he chooses to give them. He lets people know in a variety of ways when they are to exercise one of these particular gifts. For the spoken gifts, he will sometimes put in our mind of the first few words of what we're to speak. In the case of healing, often someone who has this particular anointing will begin to feel that anointing in their hands. He will also cause you to heal, bring healing to others. And this will be to also perform miracles and to cast out demons. And at that particular time, you and I have to be willing to take our hands and lay hands on other people. Or at times begin to speak a word or a command or do anything that he directs us to do. I think of the accountant in this church. One of our accountants in this church, she had a baby, a baby boy. He was born with a hole in his lung. And she was in the hospital. The baby was in the ICU unit in one of those glass boxes, if you know what I'm talking about. And she was on the phone with her a relative. And this relative of hers is a praying woman. And while she was on the phone with this relative, this relative was praying for her. And when she got off the phone with this relative, all of a sudden she began to feel this fire in her hands. And she walked into the ICU unit. And when you go into the unit, you have these glass boxes and the babies are in these boxes. And there's this thing that you can put your hands in if you want to touch the baby. And so she put her hands in the thing and began to put her hands on the baby. And no one was around. And when she put her hands on the baby, all the sensors in this box began to go off and say, "Baby overheating, baby overheating, baby overheating." And all of a sudden, all the nurses came in and her hands were in there. She was praying for this baby. And later on, they went to find out and test the baby and found out the baby was healed. Hallelujah. The baby was healed. The hole was closed. God is alive. I said, God is alive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A word of advice tonight. Do not seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, if you do not honestly in your heart want to be obedient to God and want him to guide your life. Also, many people have had some contact with the occult. That is fortune telling, horoscopes, magic practices and games, spiritism, or false religious teachings. If you're watching shows like Medium and all types of shows like that that are on TV, talking about witchcraft and spirits being channeled and all types of stuff like that, you've got to get away from these things. This occult involvement breaks the first commandment and is an abomination or an object of disgust to God, and gives Satan access to our lives, according to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 through 12. Anytime a person seeks supernatural answers without going through Jesus Christ. Satan has a right to answer. Let me say that again. Anytime a person seeks supernatural answers without going through Jesus Christ, Satan has the right to answer. If a person seeks the baptism without first renouncing the entire occult involvement, he opens his life to further mental, physical, and spiritual oppression. If you are seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it is vital that you confess your faith in Jesus Christ and that you confess all involvement in the occult as sin and promise to destroy all books and objects of the occult like they did in Acts chapter 19, verse 19. You are to renounce Satan and all his works in your life and command him in the name of Jesus to depart. To depart out of your life. To depart out of your family. In the name of Jesus. And we have the assurance of God's word. In Luke 11. That if God is your heavenly father. In other words, if you have been born again. You will not receive anything evil when you ask him. But he will give you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He will give you the Holy Spirit. What about this new language? What about speaking in tongues? This new language, the language that the Spirit gives, is not only a sign of the initial reception of the gift of the Spirit, but is also a sign of his continuing presence in your life and mine. You do not have to wait for a special anointing or sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life to pray in tongues or to pray in the Spirit. It can and should be used continually to build you and I up. God gifts are given for a purpose. It is very important that you continue to cultivate this gifting in your life, that you continue to pray in tongues, you continue to pray in the Spirit when you've been baptized. Practice this new language of the Spirit until it becomes as natural as breathing in your life. And as you do, you will experience a new peace and joy, knowing the presence of the Lord in your life like never before. I think of times when I don't even feel like praying. Times when I don't even feel like worshiping. How many of you know that feeling? Okay, the rest of you are lying. Times when you don't feel like worshiping. You don't feel anything. There are times when I feel dry. Really dry. I don't feel nothing. 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 And then all of a sudden, I'll just begin to pray in tongues. I'll just begin to pray. I'll just begin to pray in this heavenly language that God has given me. And I don't understand a word I'm saying. But that's all right. It's the Holy Spirit quickening me and giving me the ability to pray. And as I pray, I kid you not, all of a sudden, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. In other words, if you're dry, come and drink. Just begin to pray in tongues, and out of your belly will flow this river of living water. All of a sudden, you begin to feel this thing welling up on the inside. And all of a sudden, you begin to feel his presence in your life. Doesn't matter if you're in at work, at school, in the library. It doesn't. You could be on the bus. And it doesn't matter. And all of a sudden, you'll feel God's presence right where you are. And he'll let you know that I'm there with you. Hallelujah. God's word tells us that praying in the Spirit edifies us, builds us up in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:4. God's word also tells us that we build up our faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude, verse 20. You will later find that this is one of your weapons in repelling Satan's attacks on your life. How do I receive the baptism? Believers in the New Testament receive the baptism in a variety of ways. Some had Spirit-filled Christians lay hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Others were praying and waiting on the Lord and worshiping God like they did in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, the 120, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost descended upon them. There were others that were just listening to the word of God, like in Cornelius' day, and the Spirit of God fell on them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't box God in. Hallelujah. You can't box God in tonight. I want to pray tonight for those who want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Tonight, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm not even a Christian. Or maybe you're here tonight and you're not a born-again Christian. You've never given your life completely to Jesus Christ. You might have even grown up in the church, but you've never surrendered everything to Him. And if you say, Pastor, tonight I want to give my all to Jesus. If you're here and you're battling oppression in your mind and you can't seem to get the victory tonight. If you've been exposed to the occult tonight and you say, Pastor, I want God to break that hold of the enemy on my life. You need to come to this altar and give everything to Jesus. How many of you here tonight and you say, Pastor, I've never been born again, but I want to give my life to Jesus Christ tonight. Show of hands here all over this place. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Honest. Be honest with Him tonight. Over here, over here, over here in the middle, all over here in the front. Honest tonight. Okay. I'm going to ask everyone all over this place, we're going to stand together quietly and reverently all over this place tonight. And those of you who raised your hand, I want to invite you to step out of your seat and come to the front here. We're going to pray for you tonight. We're going to pray for you tonight. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. I want to give my all to Jesus. I want Him to use me for His glory. I want to be anointed with power. I want to stand for Christ in this generation. I want to stand for Christ in my home. I want to stand for Christ in my school, in my workplace. I need this power you talked about tonight. I want to invite you to get out of your seat and come to the front here. We're going to pray for you tonight. We're going to believe God to fill you. If you're backslidden, maybe you've grown cold in your relationship with Christ. You say, Pastor, I just can't seem to get the victory. I remember I had a friend who was backslidden. He said, I just can't seem to get back to church. I can't get back. I feel so far away. If that's you tonight, tonight's your night for a miracle. He's going to transform you tonight. In the name of Jesus, we're going to worship. And then we're going to come back and begin to pray together. Hallelujah. How many have come to give your life to Jesus Christ? Maybe you were first time, or maybe you were backslidden. You've come to surrender everything to Christ. Lift your hands to Him tonight. Lift your hands to Him as a sign of surrender. I want to lead you in a simple prayer of just repentance, which means you're asking God for forgiveness. You're inviting Him to come into your life and take complete control. I did this 22 years ago. I was raised a Catholic. I had done my communion, my confirmation, all these things. But I was hungry for God. I wanted more. And God was saying, there is more. I'm going to take you deeper. I'm going to take you to another level with me. Tonight, if that's you, raise both hands. And I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, asking Christ to take complete control of your life. Would you pray with me tonight? Bow your heads tonight and pray from your heart. Jesus Christ, Son of God, I acknowledge tonight I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that You died and rose again so that I might have forgiveness in Your name. Tonight, I receive Your free offer of forgiveness and salvation. Come into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, my God. Take complete control. Change me. Make me into the person You always wanted me to be and created me to be. Tonight, I acknowledge that You are my Lord and that I believe You hear me even as I'm praying and that You are forgiving me right now of all my sins. I want to thank You, Jesus, for loving me so. And I give You praise in Your mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, those of you who prayed that prayer tonight, you need to know if you meant business with God, He meant business with you. What does that mean? That means that right now, the angels of God in heaven are striking up their instruments, and they're beginning to rejoice because you, God's creation, who was once lost and far from God, have now come home to Him. This is the most important decision you will ever make in your life, giving your life back to Jesus Christ, the life that He gave you from the very beginning. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit has come, and He will cause you now to live for God. He has made you into a new person, a new creation. All the old things in your life have passed away. All the old ways of doing things have passed away, and now everything has become new. Now, we're going to pray for you and everyone else who's responded to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to give you a bit of instruction tonight as we pray. First of all, I want you to begin to place your mind on Christ. Begin to focus on Jesus. Begin to worship Him tonight and to begin to praise Him as we pray tonight and as we worship Him. The Bible says that as you begin to rejoice in Him, God will come and He will do what He has promised in His Word. We're going to begin by praising Him tonight and worshiping Him tonight. And so you are going to open your mouth and you are going to begin to raise your voice and you're going to begin to thank Him tonight with your voice. He will not force you tonight to worship Him. He will not force you to speak in tongues. As the Lord places a strange word in your mouth, something that's unfamiliar to you, unfamiliar to your mind, you begin to speak it out boldly. You begin to speak it out boldly, and your lips may even begin to stammer as you speak. But as you boldly repeat the word or the phrase that the Spirit will give you tonight, God will begin to give you more words and even more words. Hallelujah. Sometimes only a few words come in the initial touch. But as you continue to speak forth in faith, and that's the key, in faith, the Lord will give you a complete vocabulary, hallelujah, to praise God with tonight. He'll give you a complete vocabulary to praise Him with tonight. The only thing to hold you back tonight is self-consciousness. What do I mean? The thought that, oh, this is foolish. This is foolish. The devil will come in your mind and say, this doesn't make sense. You look stupid. Look at you. This is foolish. This is foolish. This is foolish. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. The devil will come and begin to throw thoughts in your mind. Even in the first person, he will do that. So you have to shut out those voices and you have to surrender everything to Christ tonight and believe that you have received. Believe that you have received, past tense, and you shall have it. Amen? Amen. How many are willing to believe God tonight? With all your heart tonight. Lift your hands to Him. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer tonight, and then we're going to begin to worship. I want you to pray after me tonight. Jesus Christ, Son of God, I acknowledge You as Lord. I ask You to forgive me of every wrong thing, of every evil in my life. Tonight, I renounce the devil and everything of hell that has been allowed access to my heart and to my mind. And I give You total control of my life. Use me for Your glory. Fill me with Your power. Holy Spirit, come and take complete control and be glorified in my life tonight as I worship You. In the name of Jesus, I thank You and I bless You. Let's begin to worship Him tonight. Begin to praise Him in your own words. Begin to praise Him. Open your mouth tonight. Open your mouth tonight. Open your mouth tonight. Open your mouth tonight. You begin to praise Him. You begin to worship Him. Just begin to worship Him. Begin to praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. I bless You, Jesus. I praise You, Jesus. Okay, you worship Him. You praise Him in your own words. Just begin to thank Him. Begin to bless His name. Just say, thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. I praise You. Thank You for waking me up this morning. I didn't have to get up this morning, but You woke me up this morning. I thank You for loving me. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for receiving from me. I thank you for dying for me. I bless your name tonight. I praise your name tonight. I worship you tonight.